Many Americans today have a love-hate relationship with France, but in his new book, historian Tom Shachman shows us that without France, there might not be a United States of America. The name of the new book is How the French Saved America: Soldiers, Sailors, Diplomats, Louis XVI, and the Success of a Revolution. Tom Shachman will be speaking tonight at the White Hart Inn in Salisbury, Connecticut. It is an Oblong Books event. You can find out more information by going to oblongbooks.com. The event is tonight at 6 o'clock in Salisbury, Connecticut at the White Hart Inn. Before all that, though, we welcome Tom Shachman to this morning's roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
And a pleasure for me, too.
What brought you to the subject of France and their saving of this country of ours?
Well, I was working on a previous book which came out a few years ago called Gentlemen, Scientists, and Revolutionaries, which is about the science of the Revolutionary War. And I came across this marvelous character named Louis de Portail, who ended up being the founder, really, of the American Army Corps of Engineers. He's a Frenchman, came over. Washington relied on him tremendously. And looking at that and looking at some things about Lafayette that weren't known and many other people whose names came up that I'd been unaware of before led me in the direction of saying that there's really something here that we generally don't know. Some Revolutionary War experts know things about the battle, and some Revolutionary War diplomatic historians know about the French side, but nobody really knows much about the whole thing put together, especially most of us, the general audience, the one who studied high school history and so on. And I discovered that there really hadn't been a book about this since 1911.
Well, of course, we hear the names of King Louis XVI and Vergennes, right? Those are the names that we hear most often, but you certainly add to that list.
Yeah, I also think that we really need to include them in our pantheon of Revolutionary War heroes, because they were really integral in making it possible for this country to emerge as an independent entity. Vergennes, who was the Secretary of State, Secretary of Foreign Affairs, however one put it. Louis XVI, who was just really a young kid. I mean, he'd just been on the throne a few years. His father had died years ago. His grandfather was an old reprobate, supposedly brought him along, but didn't really. So he was very much at sea. He didn't know quite what to do. He knew what he wanted, though. But he and Vergennes agreed upon it. They wanted to be not going out and getting more territory. They wanted to be peacemakers. They didn't want to be war makers. So those two. And then Generals Rochambeau and Admiral de Grasse also really belong in our pantheon. They made possible the victory at Yorktown.
What was in it for the French, in the sense of what their motivation was from the very beginning?
Well, it wasn't freedom and liberty. I mean, it was exactly the opposite. As a matter of fact, these guys were all royalists. And initially, when Vergennes looked at the American war, he said, "Wow, we don't want that flame catching fire in our provisions in the American hemisphere." But later on, he began to get a real balance of powers feeling about it, that if we could keep the British down, if the French could keep the British down, that'll give us time to rearm, give us time to have our Navy come back to parity with the British, because we know eventually we're going to have to fight them, because after all, we've been fighting them for 500 years. So he assumed there would be another war with Great Britain. And to keep Britain occupied and to help their enemies, that seemed like a good idea.
How soon in this process did we, those in the United States, or those of us fighting, knew that the French would be on their side?
Well, it's kind of interesting, because even before the Declaration of Independence was signed, the French had decided to help. They decided to send materiel and that sort of thing. And by the way, this was incredibly important in the Battle of Saratoga, next door here.
Mm-hmm.
90% of the ammunition that was used in that battle by the Americans was all French. And there were other things that they gave at that time, too. So we began to understand that with the arrival of this material, but also at around the same time, people began to trickle over in the late spring of 77 and through 77. So at the other great battle, the Battle of Brandywine, which took place almost the same time as Saratoga, you had French officers in the field directing American personnel and doing a pretty good job of it, too.
the assistance broadened to include everything from wages for troops to the ammunition that you just mentioned to diplomatic recognition. Talk a little bit about that expansion and how that worked to broaden in such a way to form that alliance.
Well, first of all, we understood, Americans did, even before we were a nation, our leaders really understood that in order to be eligible for this kind of aid from France or anywhere else, we had to be an independent nation. So the Declaration of Independence was issued in part to make us not only independent of Great Britain, but eligible as an independent country for the sort of aid that we hoped to get from France. And it really did expand. I mean, they sent over money, they sent over people, they sent over blankets, they sent over shovels, there's cannon. They did a great job getting rid of their old cannon. They sold it to us at a great discount. We were able to get it at bargain prices so they could make new cannon. And it shows up at Yorktown when they brought over their own cannon, and we had their old cannon. So it was just two sets of old French cannon.
Let's talk about Yorktown. Bring us to the point and why the French were so influential in that victory at Yorktown.
Yorktown takes place in the fall of 1781. In the spring of 1780, after a lot of haranguing by Lafayette and a couple of failed expeditions prior to that time, a group called the Expedition Particulière comes to Newport, Rhode Island, and it's Rochambeau, and he has 6,000 soldiers, at least a third of whom are ailing at that time. And he knows that Washington wants to knock over New York City because that's the only target that will really end the war. And he stalls because he doesn't have enough men or ships, and it's late in the season. So when it gets to the spring of 1781, Washington again wants to go to New York and attack New York, and he stalls a bit. Rochambeau stalls a little bit. Now he knows that there's a fleet underway going towards the Caribbean under Admiral de Grasse, and after it's visited the Caribbean, it's going to come north and help them wherever they want to go. So Rochambeau and the French emissary in Philadelphia, La Luzerne, and other people start this campaign to say, not New York, because New York's too tough. We may not be able to win there, and if we don't win, it could be even worse. So very soon thereafter, they fix on the Army of Cornwallis, which is on the Yorktown Peninsula, and they say, that's where we really need to go. So it comes around the summer. There's a conference in Wethersfield between Rochambeau and Washington. Washington comes out of it. He writes his diary, we're going to New York. And he still thought that. Then both armies meet over at the Hudson, not too far from here. And Washington's still thinking they're going to New York. Then a letter comes from de Grasse. He says, I'm going to Yorktown. And Washington had no choice at that point. So they both had to go down to Yorktown. As a matter of fact, Washington had this incredible task of getting together six different forces at Yorktown. He had his force, he had Rochambeau's, he had de Grasse's force, he had another French fleet under Barras at Newport, he had Lafayette's little army, and he had von Steuben's little army. And all of these things had to come together at the right time for Yorktown. But the key in there was actually that the Battle of Yorktown, although it was won on land, was really won first at sea by de Grasse and Barras, who bested the British fleet and did what they call invested the bay, making it impossible for Cornwallis to get out. And that was the Battle of Yorktown.
When it comes to Washington, though, that brilliance of bringing those forces together, that it reads in the book that, yes, a little bit of luck there, but also great leadership as well.
I think there's great leadership. The more I read in the Founding Fathers era, and I've read quite a bit of it now, the more impressed I get with almost all of them, but especially with Washington. Washington was so diplomatic, so tactful, so much of a leader that he was able to do what leaders always need to do, which is if something's gotten out of control, if something is not what you want, somehow take charge of it, make it right, and get it going better than perhaps anybody else could. And Washington certainly fits that bill.
Why do you think, as I indicated in the introduction, that we have soured on the French over the intervening centuries?
Well, there were lots of reasons. First of all, the French Revolution, which certainly got in the way of of friendly relations because it was so bloody and it took revenge on people like Rochambeau and de Grasse, you know, who were our pals and who had worked for us and with us. And even Lafayette. Lafayette was very much on the fence in the revolution for a while. He wasn't, you know, he helped broker things so that they didn't kill Louis XVI right away. It took several more years. And then the French went on a sort of a rampage after that, leading up to Napoleon, and we engaged in something that's now called the Quasi-War, which was in the 1790s. And so we were almost at war with France at that time. And then Napoleon and then the restoration of the monarchy in France, all of those things sort of got in the way. We were very happy in a small window of opportunity to be able to buy the Louisiana Purchase. But that was almost an anomaly. I mean, it had to happen in such a short period of time that it was very, very difficult to accomplish, and it got accomplished. But France was under the control of parties that we really didn't like and didn't like us for quite a long time in the early part of the 18th century. And things sort of drifted apart, although there were always those veterans of the Revolutionary mm-hmm. War who recognized France's key role in our independence and kept that sort of spirit alive.
With that said, what do you hope people get out of the book and out of that relationship and that strong relationship between France and this new country?
I think the lessons for today are very clear, which is that our heritage says that we're so independent and we can do everything and we can do anything and we can do it all by ourselves. And actually, we couldn't at the beginning, and we were perfectly happy to understand that and acknowledge that. We didn't really like the French very much because from the previous war, they had been our enemies, but we managed and we understood it, and the leaders certainly did. And then later on, things got to be pretty good between the two forces. And I think this understanding that one does not make one's way in the world as a country or as an individual by oneself is a really important thing. When I look at our leaders back then, they worked extremely hard to keep things on the ball. Franklin had to do it in Paris. John Adams, who really didn't like Vergennes, managed to do it there as well. Washington certainly did it. Some of the other generals underneath him worked extremely hard to make sure that the French were not only included, but that they were solicited and that their opinions were understood before anything went on. So I think this is quite an important lesson.
The book is fascinating. It's titled How the French Saved America, Soldiers, Sailors, Diplomats, Louis XVI, and the Success of a Revolution. The book is published by St. Martin's Press. Tom Shachman, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much. A great, great honor to have you here.
Thank you.
Again, Tom Shachman's new book is How the French Saved America, Soldiers, Sailors, Diplomats, Louis XVI, and the Success of a Revolution. Tom will be speaking tonight at the White Hart Inn in Salisbury, Connecticut at 6 p.m. You can find out more information about the event by going to oblongbooks.com. Oblongbooks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.